Equalization at 8:47. Thank you.
And we will.
It is 8:48 on the clock, so we will call to order our Board of Supervisors meeting, and we will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Been out in the sun too long, darn.
A little rain. Too many things to think about.
In hydrous induced memory loss?
Planning too late.
Good, Gary.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda: approve minutes of the meeting held March 30th, 2016. Approve all claims through April 13, 2016 in the amount of $1,521,883.57, except claim number 1604013 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $384.50 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve reappointing Donald Junker, 2105 Jefferson Street, Beatrice, Nebraska, for another term on the Gage County Veterans Service Committee to expire July of 2021. Approve District Court summary fee report for the month of March 2016. Approve Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue annual summary of calls report. Approve permit number 1042 Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. are plowing in 160 feet of manure feeder cable 5 foot deep to provide service to resident at 42634 South 23rd in the Northeast 4th Section 36 Township 2 North Range 6 East and Northwest 4th Section 31 Township 2 North and Range 7 East. Approve specs and call for bids for culvert for the project C-34-1041 North-10 of Elm. Bids to be open May 11, 2016 at 9:30 a.m. Approve specs and call for bids for 46 miles of paint striping. Bids to be open May 11, 2016 at 9:45 a.m.
I would move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers and second by Tiemann. A couple things on here are claims. Part of the reason there were that much was transfers to road and bridge and road and bridge sinking.
For the road and bridge sinking, that's what we had budgeted. This is the balance, the 100,000, I think, is what
100,000. So that's, I think the road and bridge was a little
400,000.
400 there. Yeah. So that was part of why that was as much as it was. On the paint striping, maybe Terry will talk about it later, but originally in the budget we had for, I believe, 36 miles, we were able to do another 10 miles there, so that probably will come in a little higher than our budget because we're adding another 10 miles of paint striping on that. Anything else?
Just as part of that, that roughly $1 million of the $1.5 million, you mentioned the $500,000 so transfer. We also had Terry's new sandbox toy of $171,000, and then we had a payment to constructors we'll vote on over $100,000, and then Paulson as part of the Hickory Road project. So roughly $1 million outside of normal operations that we had to use to transfer. So.
Constructors is a separate agenda item that will be voted on later on. But and you said the one to Hickory Road was
Paulson.
Paulson of about how much?
$100,000, roughly.
Or.
Except for the bridge.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Well, they're not done. They're not done.
Well, Galen handed me a breakdown on that that $200,000 because I kind of asked him about that too, and that's basically on that slab bridge that's going in east of the river bridge. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they're pouring the top deck today, this morning. Galen said so. And this is the breakdown of that claim. It's just materials they've used so far, putting that deck slab bridge in. It's right here if anybody looks at it. It amounts to about, the total submitted was $228,000, but then the retainage was $22,831, the 10% retainage. So that makes the amount $205,480.80. And that's basically all pertaining to that deck. And while we're on Hickory, I guess, this week they've also started moving dirt for the rest of the project. So,
Okay. And total easements, the last, Galen said that we paid the last easement out there on Hickory Road, and the total claims for Hickory Road for easements amounted to $99,496. That was just for the property. That we also will have a little bit for some trees out there yet and some fence and stuff. But that was the amount that we paid for easements on the property along Hickory Road.
And those easements, the way I understand it, that's the final easements were in this last week being paid. Yep. Amounted to about...
In this last claim, the last easements are being paid.
Yeah,
in this claim today.
In this pay period, that amounted to about $11,000, yeah. If I've heard it correctly.
So all of the easement claims have been paid for property out there. So, any more discussion on the consent agenda? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. In a motion to approve or disapprove the claim number 160-40130 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $384.50. And if that is approved, a total of the claims approved then would be $1,522,268.07.
Move to approve the claim.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Lytle. Discussion, and this is one because this is Eric's company.
The yard looks outstanding.
The lawn does, yes. Yeah.
Let's throw that out there.
Vote. Six in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
I didn't have anything.
Equalization. We have the blue lights on for the month of April.
For the autism, for recognizing autism being this month. And so that's very good. I'm glad that we as a county do that and recognize the difficult situation that families have, but that we're working hard to try to help them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And equalization, I think we talked about that already. We'll have a committee meeting next time. Finance.
Nothing additional.
Byron?
Yep.
Two things I'd like to add to finance would be there was approximately $68,000 spent to A-Sand and Gravel and Beatrice Concrete for gravel materials for the road again. And the amount on that loader that came in last week or 2 weeks ago, the total amount was $171,603.21.
Human resource.
Nothing.
Okay. Law enforcement. Emergency management.
The only thing I had was there was one emergency siren that we did find to have an issue, and it sounds like we're getting that taken care of. Other than that, I don't have anything additional.
And Doug, nothing? No, you're just sitting here. Yeah. Road and bridge.
A few of these things we covered already. Dirt work, pouring top deck today. We're coming up with that cost share with Kansas on that bridge. Last payment on Hickory Road easements. The Sterling truck, it will run at on the Auction Time magazine and will run until May 18th. That's when it'll be sold. Most everything else we'll talk about later.
Nothing, Galen, either. So I did, I'll just mention quick, I forgot to bring that email along. I did visit with Janet Anderson again last week. I did about our Adams Northwest Bridge, and she did get a hold of the governor's office, whoever she deals with there, and she said they did not have any authority over that board. The governor does not have authority over that standards board. But she did a visit with then the director of the Department of Roads, and it's Kyle, I think, Stein Kruger.
Schillers. What?
Isn't it Kyle Shonowitz?
Shonowitz, yeah, that's it, Shonowitz. And she gave me the contact information there to visit with him about that bridge then and stuff. So, and I haven't done that yet. So we will be doing that. So, but the road and the standards board, that ruling apparently will, from the governor's perspective, will stay because he does not have authority over that board.
Which who appoints that board?
He appoints one of the members.
Who? Where do the rest of them come from?
I don't know. Yeah. He does have authority over that and stuff, but the governor's office does not have authority otherwise over that board. So
we're going to be a little tougher.
If you want to write a letter, we can have a letter maybe and send it, I guess.
I don't think you'll want the letter that I'll write.
I know you.
So a non-elected board that has the effect of expenditures of taxpayer money has basically can act autonomous and wield the saber in any manner they want.
Also admitting that there's no reason not to accept it. Every question they had went back towards, yeah, you know, you guys are right, but we don't really want to do that.
Even though the governor had come out earlier and said we need to find ways to make sure we're saving money instead of wasting it.
Just so that you know, they didn't forget that. They made that comment there. This would be a better use of taxpayer money, but we're not going to. We're going to go ahead and blow $60,000 on nothing.
Because they're not elected, and so they're not accountable to a taxpayer.
If anybody was good at writing an open letter, that might be a good article for an open letter. Throwing that out there.
Keep telling Eric to write one. But.
Well, I might. I'm not going to write it to the paper.
No. We do have a timed event at 9 o'clock this morning, and we are right there. And we do have two veterans service honors this morning, and I know the one, Donald Burke, here, we've been trying to coordinate the schedules here for quite some time, and it looks like we're sure there this morning. So go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, it's my pleasure today to have two veterans here. So we got a double header, so to speak. First off, I'd like to introduce Donald Burke. Donald Burke served in the United States Army as a military policeman. He joined in March of 1941, so before Pearl Harbor, and he served until October of 1945. So from before the war to the end of the war, he served in Europe as a military policeman, and on his discharge, some of the things that it has that kind of caught my attention was he was a military policeman. He served as a member of a branch of the military police to maintain order. He drove a command car, pulled raids on houses and bars, and made arrest reports, and served in Germany and France. And I think he was also at the Battle of the Bulge. So, Don, I'll bring him up here.
Nope.
Phil?
Phil, send him over there and turn that, if he would like to talk here. Yeah,
just leave him in front and turn this way.
If you'd like to say something, you can go ahead and say something here. Oh, okay.
I'm East Daughter Gloria. I'm deprived of the effect of what my dad did for his service to his country. I moved him and my mother out here in 2004. And one of the ladies that we met on the Silver Salute wrote an article on him. My brother has served in the Air Force. I served in the Navy. My mother's riveted tanks and ships during World War II. And then my dad served in the Army. So I believe we've done our share to serve our country, and we were proud of it. You got something to say, Bud?
I can say I can't walk, buddy. I'm just sorry. I can't walk or anything. My feet's all frozen from the Battle of the Bulge. I forgot frozen there.
What else? Go ahead. You don't know what else?
No.
God bless him. He's made it to 91 years old.
Yes. God bless you, too, and Don, we as a county, we as a board, and also we as a county, we want to thank you and your family so much for all of the service that you and your family have done for this country. Our words don't express how much we appreciate what you guys have done.
Can you tell them thank
stuff,
you?
So.
Thank you. I want to thank each and every one of us when I got the orders.
Take your time.
When I come over here. When I tried to come the first time, I've been sick, you know.
Yeah.
All for knowing.
Fifth time is a charm.
We've had a lot of phone calls to try and coordinate this.
Yeah, I was.
I thought we were going to have to put him, clean him out in the yard and put water on him to grow. He also, I got something to say besides him being in the military. He saved 72 people from a roadside thing back in Pennsylvania. Some jerk pulled a van in with helium in the back of a cigarette, and he got everybody out of there before anybody was hurt. It blew it like 50 some feet up in the air and brought it back down. So he served his country. He's 47 years as a fireman and 14 years as a fire police captain of helping at fires and that. So
he's truly a hero.
Yes, he is.
Thank you
he's
very
my
much.
Hero.
Yep. It's our hero.
Yeah. And we have a little something for you, too, Terry.
Yep.
The county, I would like to present this to you as an appreciation for your years of service.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank
very
you
much.
Brother.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, smile. Look up here and smile at me. There you go. Gotcha. Said they have another person, so she'll have to move in.
Thank you.
Can you hold this?
My hands are always cold to froze. They're always cold.
Hey, we got to move because there's another gentleman that's being on it. Can you hold them? Can you hold them? All right, let's back it up. Turn it this way.
All right, the next veteran that we're here to honor is a lifetime Odell resident, Ed Pavlik. And Ed served in the United States Army from the 7th of February, 1952, to January 21st, 1954. He served with the, H&S Company, 40th Tank Battalion, and looks like he served 1 year and 5 months overseas, and his discharge doesn't have all of his medals on here. It does have the National Defense Service Medal, but I'm sure there's more to include, probably, I'm sure, at least a good conduct medal. But at this time, I'd like to introduce Ed Pavlik.
Would he hear the...
Come up here. You got anything you want to say, Ed?
Come up here if you want.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. If the family, somebody from the family would like to comment, too, you're more than welcome. We appreciate anything, so...
Well, he just he had a short military service, but he's been involved in the American Legion. I think for I don't know how many years. He's a permanent member, and he was looking at this morning, and he said, "I was the finance officer, but I don't have a penny." But he's also served as a post commander and a county commander as well. So he's a permanent resident, and we're very proud of his service. Thank you for this award.
Thank you.
Ed's been a good friend of mine also from the Odell area, and Ed, on behalf of the county, I would like to present you with this plaque and small token of appreciation. Thank you very much, Ed.
We appreciate very much what both of you individuals, what both of you gentlemen have done for our country. And Matt Bauman came up with this several years ago, 3 years ago or whatever, and it's something that the board has just really it's a small token of our appreciation how we can thank some of the people of our county, the time and the effort they've put in, and it's kind of amazing to see them and to hear some of their stories. So we really appreciate it. Thank you. Next up on the agenda, we have Jared Reimers with the community liaison with Representative Adrian Smith's office. I don't know if they're here yet or not. If not, we will have them later on the agenda. Approve or disapprove visitors improvement grant to the YRI in conjunction with Beatrice Girls Softball Association in the amount of $30,238 for two new Hanimal Diamond projects. So, Lori, Laura.
Good morning, everybody. This came to us really quickly a couple weeks ago, I believe, is when we met last. They are looking to increase the number of ball fields at Hanimal. One of the reasons they want to do this is partly because a lot of the other ball fields are in the flooding. This is going to be two softball fields, however, so it is my understanding, I'm not a softball baseball player, but it is my understanding that boys under the age of 10, is that right? 12 can also play on these fields. This will be a great addition. We do have a lot of tournaments. Almost every weekend in town, our fields are filled with tournaments. So this is a huge need for our community. Is there any more questions? The advisory committee approved it. They would love to see it happen. So they're bringing it to you for a final approval.
I would make a motion to approve the request.
Seconds.
We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Thiemann to approve the request. Any more discussion? I'll just say this. The sports anymore has created a lot of activity everywhere, and softball is getting huge, as some of the others are, and it's
and if we can figure out how to do basketball in this community during the summertime, we'd look at that too.
Yes.
Okay.
So vote 7-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Next we have, well, it says Millard Gustafson present fourth quarter report for sheriff department, the jail, and the courthouse. So I see Doug here. Yeah. Well, Gus said he was going to be gone, I think, Monday, he said. So, yeah.
Not big enough for me to see, but he could
even read this one.
Yeah. Matt could read this one.
And Matt's going to have to hold it out here.
I'll tell you what, the sheriff's office, they know how to put together a presentation about 16 font. I'm just saying, Don.
Look at how much paper they're wasting.
It's not wasted if you're using it.
I think we'll have Sergeant Davidson, maybe, if you want to do yours first, and he can get back upstairs and man his post, so to speak, up there, and then we'll have Lieutenant Shepherdson kind of go over stuff for the jail, and we'll finish up with the stuff for the sheriff's office. So.
Good morning.
Morning.
You should have a sheet of paper that says fourth quarter 2015 screening statistics, if you want to point to that. We screened 3,100 people, a little over 3,100 people in the fourth quarter, and that averages about 52 people a day. That's just patrons. It's not court employees or attorneys or anything like that, social workers. We found 96 stabbing instruments, a handcuff key, found a knife in the stairwell. 14 people were remanded into custody, arrested 14 people on outstanding warrants. Issued 5 misdemeanor citations and assisted other agencies with 5 other arrests. We assisted in the arrest of an intoxicated driver who came up to the screening station and left the courthouse. Had 2 intoxicated people show up at the screening station during court. arrested one person for possession of methamphetamine. Found methamphetamine in a bag near the east steps. Served a protection order. Assisted with the jail with the escort of an inmate. And we had the active shooter drill in the courthouse. And then Tim and I, we went around and all the shelter-in-place kits, we resupplied them, updated them. So that was done. If you like, I can tell you the 2015 annual stats. Just kind of do a real quick, brief rundown of them, down and dirty.
If you have that, but I have one question. 14 people were remanded into custody.
That means they
came up through the screening station, I guess.
They came through the screening station, and they the judge remanded them into our custody. They weren't inmates. They were fresh remand. So
was it a result? I guess was it a result of something that happened in court, or was it something that their name showed up? I'm just curious.
No. This would be they're there for their sentencing, okay. And their sentence is that they go to jail or they go to prison. So that's something that's a function that we do. Is they're remanded in our custody, so the court deputy takes them in and gets them shackled and either takes them over to the jail or a corrections officer takes them over to the jail.
Brian, without getting into specifics, the active shooter drill, did we feel that was successful and learned some things, I hope?
We went into the courtroom and we did some training, did a training video. The employees went back to their offices. We had a few of them kind of wandered the hall. And then Tim was our bad guy. And so we went through a couple different scenarios and shelter in place or flee or, you know, whatever they needed to do to protect themselves. Okay. And so I think it was a good hands-on experience. So.
Good.
And you picked a real bad guy for your bad guy.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We sure did.
And just a reminder, that was one of the times that you shut down the courthouse an hour early.
That's correct.
So yeah. The public knows that's what that was.
Yeah, we're looking for another day here fairly close. We like to do Wednesdays because we know there's no county court Wednesdays. So I'm just kind of looking for a district court day to open up, and then we'll do another drill. It'll be a bond threat drill.
Good.
So it'll be the drill. We did a training on it in January. We had Sergeant McKinstry from Nebraska State Patrol come and do an hour training, and now we want to do a drill involving that. So
can you maybe define better the 96 cutting and stabbing instruments?
That would be a knife.
Mostly knives?
Yeah.
And we're catching these at the screening station.
That's correct. Yeah.
Because we don't have a screening station on the first floor. So these items are on the first and the second floor of the courthouse where the public is, and they're only being caught when they try to go into the courts.
That's true.
So we have 96 cutting and stabbing devices walking around the courthouse.
That's the ones we're logging.
There's several we probably don't know about.
What's that?
Maybe more we don't know about.
If we allowed people to carry weapons and protect themselves, we wouldn't have to worry about that. But.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
We've got the fourth quarter 2015 jail stats here. Bookings, 155 males, 41 females, 113 felonies, 192 misdemeanors, 78 other. Sheriff's Office, 142 bookings. Beatrice, 60. Wymore Police Department, 0. State Patrol, 6. Other agencies, 0. Alcohol-related arrests, 11. Average daily population of 21. Average outside hold population, 13 for a high, 1 for a low. Income from outside prisoner hold, 0. Income from fingerprinting, $855, which is up quite a bit. Income from inmate phone usage, zero. Commissary commission income, $6,441, which is up from last quarter. Spent on outside prisoner holds, $13,700, which is down from last quarter. General care, emergency medical, $15,009, which is significantly down from last quarter. Vision, zero, and dental, $450. We also, I don't know if the sheriff has brought it up, we are now selling visitation cards. We're required by jail standards to allow the inmates 2 hours of visitation per week. The inmates were asking for more visitation time because the way it is now, when they were up, the two hours were up, they didn't get any more visitation. So they were asking for if we could up the visitation time. I talked to some other counties. They sell visitation cards. So we're selling 30-minute visitation cards for $5 a piece. So we're hoping that will help offset some expense and improve our commissary, maybe expand our commissary operation. So I've had no complaints. The inmates are very happy that they get that extra time. So,
just a question. When we show the medical costs, how much of that is treatment as far as drug addiction with their methamphetamine or whatever they're using? How much of the medical treatment is for the drug use or addiction?
It's not as much as you think, because we can give them a medication. Our medical will give them medication to help with withdrawal. Here recently we've had, well, last quarter, we had some major medical, a gallbladder removed, and some major expenses there. But I'm going to say probably maybe 20% for alcohol and drug-related.
Can we take any of those people? Can we apply to Medicaid for anything?
We do. We get Medicaid rate. I send all our medical bills to Medicaid, and then they send back what we actually should be paying. So,
but we have to pay it. Medicaid doesn't pay it while we're holding them. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Medicaid pays those bills, or they tell us the
rate we pay? The hospital or whoever will send us the bill, and then I fax it to Medicaid or to HHS, and then they send me back the Medicaid rate. So, and it's quite a significant savings.
We still have to pay that, though. The Medicaid doesn't pay
it. Unless the inmate has health insurance, and then their health insurance will pay, and then we have to pick up whatever's left.
Because while they are in our facility, they don't qualify for Medicaid or Medicare paying for that.
Yeah, according to state law, jails get Medicaid rate. So
they get Medicaid rate, but the jail still pay, or our county still
whatever,
pays.
We still have to pay whatever that Medicaid rate is.
Because they've had some discussion at our county conventions on that and how to handle that, and I'm sure at your sheriff's associations too, they go through that and stuff, so that everybody is aware. Because I know the one lady out at Scott's Bluff really talked about that last time out there, how their jail got hit with such a big bill.
They were trying to help get some of these people on Medicaid as they left, so that some of the issues that put them in to jail wouldn't reoccur. Some of the different things that plague people, hopefully they could get them taken care of and they wouldn't end up back with
right.
you guys.
Right.
Well, and that's one of the things in my Region 5 systems meetings this week, is what we're working on, working with the agencies that can provide these kind of services. We need to be expanded. We don't have enough people out there who can be there to help these individuals to follow through after they've received their treatment, and we just turn them loose, and nobody is monitoring to see that they're following the guidelines and the things. So it is being worked on, but I know we're working closely with.
That would probably help a lot.
Yeah. Help me understand the visitation again.
Visitation, jail standards requires that the inmates get 2 hours of visitation a week. That's the minimum. We have to provide them with 2 hours of visitation a week. the inmates were asking if they ran out of visitation time, if we could give them more. So we're offering the visitors, if they want to purchase a visitation card after that 2 hours, their 2 hours is up, they can use that 30-minute visitation card to get extra time to visit.
Why wouldn't we just let them visit more and not charge for it?
Well, a lot of it is our staffing.
There's an operational hindrance there to allowing people to visit. I recognize they're remanded to custody, but it sounds rather callous that we're charging people to visit. I guess I've never heard that before, so I got to get over that. And I don't work in the business. I just, when I hear that you're paying to visit.
Right.
I'm just verbalizing some. Okay, I got to wrap my head around that. So, and I don't work in the business, but I'm just trying to understand if we can allow them more time. And $5 for how long?
What, 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
We do 30-minute sessions because the way it is now, we're limited with the video visitation. They visit from their cell block. So when somebody comes in, they're only allowed 30 minutes because somebody might be right behind them to visit somebody in that same cell block. So
so the visitation doesn't take, it's one-on-one, like one person gets to visit out of that cell at a time.
Right.
Okay. So it's some of that's just, there's a queue there, and so people have to... Okay.
Yep.
Charging to visit with people, I just...
Well, you know, and actually inmates brought it up. You know, they wanted to...
It was their idea.
Yeah. Okay. Especially around the holidays, because, I mean, there were so many visits coming in that we couldn't, you know, it was having a hard time keeping up, and this will help offset some costs, so...
All right. Is the fee the only consideration, or is there anything based on good conduct that allows them to purchase it?
No, this is purchased by the visitor himself, not the inmate.
Right. But, I mean, if the inmate is giving you problems throughout the week, you still allow them extra visitation, or?
That would be on a case-by-case basis. More than likely not. If they're causing a problem, obviously we have to give them their 2 hours.
Right.
But we wouldn't have to give...
Extra.
Given than the other, so.
Any more questions? You learn something new every day about your report, so, yeah. Thank you. Doug?
This will be for the fourth quarter of 2015. We'll start at the top with calls for service. 1,526, pretty average, I think, for the most part. The number of accidents we worked was 91. Citations that were issued, 74. That's a little lower because we had one in the academy and we're short one for hiring and stuff. So on the average, you know, we're down a little bit probably on that. The number of warnings, 232, you know, which is fairly average. 152 arrests. Again, that kind of goes hand in hand with them being short two during that time period. Paper served, 273. Warrants served, which is 89. That's pretty average. Fees, $2,782.47. And then for mileage, $4,603.70. $5 for copies. We don't really get as many copies, it seems like, as we used to for some reason, and a lot of it is things are available online, I think, and stuff, a lot more records now. But distress warrants, $7,455.36, so that was quite a chunk collected there. Partial payments, zero on those. Title inspections, $4,230. That's seems to kind of keep going up for the most part. I know like one day last week on Friday, I think we had 16 title inspections that day. It's just, I mean, it's unreal how many cars are coming through. People are buying, it seems like, a lot of used cars. Patrol miles driven, 57,861. Again, with two down on that for the most part, so that's going to be a little less when we have somebody doubled up in field training and one to the academy. For transports, $3,237. Grant reimbursements, $1,940.91. And that would be for clicker ticket or other mini grants, or you drink, you drive, you lose, those type of grants on those for reimbursements. Zero meth labs, six drug violations. Next quarter, you'll see that go up. based on the activity that we've had lately. Reserve mileage is zero and hours is three. Building checks, 412, and then open doors found is eight. Our activity level for, you know, with a lot of the thefts, break-ins, burglaries, and stuff that we had, you know, probably since the end of the year, we've been making some good progress on those, and we'll have some arrest warrants forthcoming on some of that without, you know, letting out some details there that we've been working with Jefferson and County and State Patrol and into Marshall and Washington County, Kansas. So we've been just had a meeting yesterday with some of those and with the county attorney's office for some prosecution on some of those things and how we're going to proceed with that. So we've had some property recovered on some search warrants as of late and stuff in conjunction with Jefferson County. So that is a good feeling to have that. So
Eric,
these distress warrants, I always see that at zero, $50, zero.
Partial.
Is this one warrant that you collected? That's a pretty good chunk of change compared to...
For which one is that? I'm sorry?
74-55-36. That's a pretty good...
Well, no, that would be for all of them during that quarter that we have for like a group, I believe. That's not just one. That would be outstanding.
I didn't know if that was just all of a sudden. Who's responsible for that? They really... kicked it in the gear this quarter, it looks like.
Well, it depends on what we get, you know, on how many come in, and then we go to collect those. So, I mean, it's people will come in throughout, you know, the week or the month and stuff, too, and we go to make contact with them at their residence or wherever it might be that we have a good address for to try and collect those fees. We leave a card, you know, if we don't make contact, sometimes they'll come in then, and then we got to figure the interest and everything and get that money, get those monies collected and then turn back in. So, it just depends on how many we get, you know, and how successful we are on collecting those.
I'm sure people call you back right away as soon as they see that card.
We actually have pretty good success on these. It's not as bad as you might think on those. I mean, there's some that drag on, but for the most part, it's usually pretty good. People respond pretty good. So we'll send out a letter or drop a card or whatever. So,
Terry?
Doug, I see on the building checks, that's increased dramatically over this last quarter. Is that a direct result of the thefts and problems that's been going around?
No, not really. Okay. That probably has a little bit more to do with a couple things. You know, it depends on where our deputies are at as far as on which shifts, and then based on, you know, if we are running a little bit low, like you'll see the third quarter was 154, mm-hmm. You know, so there might have been a little bit of urging from some of the command staff, you know, to maybe do a few more, so... Yeah. Then that goes up, and so.
Historically, that 400 number is probably on the low end. Actually, if you look back at 14, and from what I remember from the years past, that 400 number is actually probably on the low end. Those
yeah.
two quarters where it was 150 and 200 was extremely low.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see where it was 224, 154, 412, you know, and that's the biggest thing. And a lot of it is sometimes businesses, you know, and if we have businesses that are not frequented as much as others where maybe they're only, it's a building and they use it for storage and our deputies go to check it, well, those building check cars start piling up. Well, we don't want to, you know, do that either and then, you know, advertise that nobody's there for long periods of time either. And so then we try to make sure that they taper off on those and hit the other ones that are there, obviously, a little bit more. But so that's why those numbers will fluctuate some.
Any more questions for Doug? If not, I'll entertain a motion to place on file the sheriff's report.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Thank you, Doug.
Yes.
Vote. Thank you, Tony and Doug and everything. So appreciate that. Vote was 7-0 in favor. We'll go back up here a minute. Jared Reimers, good, with community liaison, and I'll let you introduce
yourself. Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today and present a quick update from Congressman Smith.
Your name and...
I'm Jared Reimers. I'm his community liaison for the eastern half of the 3rd District. Effectively, that's everything east of Gothenburg, Nebraska, all the way down to Falls City in the southeast and all the way up to South Sioux City in the northeast. So one of my roles with the congressman is to meet with boards like yours in the roughly 40 counties that I work with.
Identify what you're doing in that 3rd
that area. Are you representing somebody?
You tried to, and I interrupted.
Okay. As I started to say, I apologize. I'm the community liaison for United States House of Representatives member Congressman Adrian Smith.
Good.
I work with his communities in the 40 counties in the eastern half of the 3rd District. One of my primary roles is to meet with the county boards in those 40 counties and provide you with updates on what he's doing in the D.C. and provide you with an opportunity to give feedback on whatever you feel so inclined to for me to bring back to him. Before I get started, I would ask if it's appropriate, if there's any sort of comments that you have, if I could direct all communication back to the county clerk from the congressman. Is that okay?
Oh, if you're going to, if we have a question, the answer will come back to Don here, or county clerk, would you say? Or your comment, or his comments back, yes.
Yes, okay, okay. In January, the second half of the 114th Congress began. Congressman Smith continues to be a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, which is one of the primary committees of the United States House of Representatives. On that committee, effectively, they have oversight of everything that has to do with paychecks, as well as anything involving trade. In the congressman's particular instance, he sits as a member of the subcommittees of trade as well as health, and beginning in January, he became a subcommittee member on the committee for social subcommittee for Social Security as well. While the congressman's introduced a number of items this year, the two particular ones of importance for the Beatrice area involve critical access hospitals, as well as rules related to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. One particular bill involves placing a hold on what's called the patient supervisory rule for 1 year to require the Center of Medicare and Medicaid to study the rule to determine its effect on rural health care. What the rule would do, if enacted, would require a physician to supervise any procedure that is occurring with a patient who comes in with Medicare or Medicaid-related insurance. So, for example, I'll use the community of Fairbury. They have a one-floor hospital, and they employ no physicians. If this rule were in place, they would not be able to serve any patients with Medicare or Medicaid, even for things as simple as a blood draw, because they have no physicians that could supervise it. Now, they do have physicians that work there, but technically they are on a memorandum of understanding through their private practice in the area, and they're not actually on the pay list for the hospital. The second law that he's proposed would stay the 96-hour rule permanently. And what the 96-hour rule does is it requires critical access hospitals to evaluate any patient that's on Medicare or Medicaid to determine whether or not they need more than 96 hours worth of service. And if they do, they are immediately required to be transferred to a hospital that is not critical access standards. That doesn't matter what their issue is. So if somebody is something as simple as pneumonia, for example, they would still have to go to Lincoln in this area, even though Gage County's hospital is perfectly capable of handling that sort of an issue. In addition to
introducing this for this to happen?
No, he's introducing a law that would stay this rule. The 96-hour rule is a rule that's been proposed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay.
In addition to that, the congressman continues to review the trade agreement that's been proposed for the Trans-Pacific Partnership and study its effects on the pork industry in particular in Nebraska, as well as biotechnology and pharmaceuticals. And he continues to stand against anything that the President of the United States has done related to executive actions for gun control, and recently joined 43 of his compatriots in Congress and writing the president in protest to his actions, and he continues to explore ways to stop these actions. That is my update from the congressman. Any sorts of comments that you'd like me to bring back to him?
Thank you for coming. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit out of turn for him, but we've had a little bit of issue with our board of classifications in Nebraska. That's an appointed board. It's dealing with federal money right now. We have a project called the Adams Northwest Bridge. An unelected board, an appointed board, has decided to put a stay on any relaxations of standards that were standards change at the federal level. The relaxations were granted up till a hypothetical time that was never listed. I didn't know if he'd be able to write or have someone write them a letter, maybe asking for a relaxation there. The dollar amount for the county is somewhere around $10,000 additional cost, but the federal money could be in the area of $50,000. I think the stance of the Board of Classifications was, well, it's only going to cost your county an additional $10,000. The $60,000 comes from somewhere else. That's still taxpayer money. And if that's happening here, how many other places is it happening?
Okay. I will pass the question on and see what his thoughts are. Anything else? All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for coming.
Congressman, hello.
I will. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove memorandum of understanding for community-based juvenile services aid program and adult diversion program. We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, second by Hill.
Christina Lyons, I'm the director of Gage County MAPS Community Coalition, and under that umbrella fits the juvenile and adult diversion program, as well as all of the community-based juvenile services aid program. You'll see that we have been talking about this for a couple of years probably now, but I think we get busy and we forget to do it. And now I have a financial monitor coming up from the Crime Commission, and this is one of the things they needed to be done. So this is what we're doing. If you have any questions, I can walk it through for you, but I outlined what the grant covers. The county board is under no legal or financial responsibility to me as a diversion provider or Gage County MAPS as an organization. As long as we have this grant, that will cover those expenses.
Basically, for the board, this just puts into writing what we've been doing for a lot of years.
Exactly.
Makes the auditor happy.
It's just, like you said, it's a memorandum of understanding and stuff. So it's an agreement, basically.
Yeah, and like you said, we've been doing it. And basically, it works with, you know, Christina works down at school. And it just, like I said, it makes Lincoln feel better that we have it down in writing. So.
Anybody have any questions?
This is grant money that's already been approved. It's not
correct.
It's not new grant money that sometimes you've come before us and apply. We okayed the paperwork to apply for another grant.
Correct, and that happens every year. Just got notice, but then something happened that until we're done with the financial monitor, they're not asking for that to be approved, but we just got notice that we were approved for the $71,000 that we applied for this year.
Very good.
So I'll be back in a couple weeks probably.
Yeah. Any more questions? Vote 7-0 in favor. You probably need these back then. Thank you. Next up, approve or disapprove a culvert project between Gage County and Marshall County, Kansas.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Bauman. And Galen brought this. Terry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you or Galen. I would go ahead. Either one of you. Whoever wants to explain it.
Galen's got the sheet here, but he's probably better versed than I am on it if he'd like to talk about this.
This is a project that's on the Gage County and Marshall County line, and it just happens to be the mile and a half that Marshall County takes care of. They had to close down a bridge, and they contacted me. They want to replace it with a 84-inch by 40-foot culvert. We do have an interlocal agreement with Marshall County on this, and the agreement states that the both counties will share 50% of the cost of this project.
Right, and this is similar to what we had in on the Jefferson County line a year ago, where we replaced a bridge over there with culverts, and it was
yes
split between the two counties.
Mm-hmm. Also, on a road like this, it's shared between Kansas, basically Nebraska. You know, they maintain half. We maintain half as it goes down, kind of alternate, kind of a screwed-up system, if you want to know the truth. But all bridges, the agreement is that we will pay for half of the bridge expense through there. And on this particular project, they sent an estimate of a total of $9,950. So Gage County would be responsible for half that, so... And he's got estimates on culverts in the back and everything else, and two different estimates. So I would suggest we approve.
Any more questions?
At that price, we're basically paying for the pipe, more or less, aren't we?
Basically, yes.
Even though it's a messed up system, it kind of works well where no one gets stuck with it.
Depends on how you look at it. Good news is we didn't have to pay for all of it. The bad news is they didn't have to pay for all of it.
We could always dam that off and pond the water and sell it back down south.
Yeah.
I think the pipe itself was estimated at $5,444.
For the tube, yes.
For the tube.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Galen.
You bet.
Any more questions? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Next on the agenda. Terry, when did you have to leave? You said you went.
I've got time.
Okay. Approve or disapprove settlement agreement and warranty between Gage County and Constructors Incorporated for a final settlement of $102,333.73. Total of the claims approved then for this pay period are $1,624,601.80.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. And I think, as most people know, this is when we had the bond that passed in here in Gage County, and we did the road overlays. That project's been done, I guess, for more than a year now. And we had some disagreement between us and constructors on, I guess, some warranty work and the final settlement, the final amount to be paid. Gage County took the position that it was roughly around 76,000. Constructors come back that it was around 141,000. This 102,333 is what Roger and their attorney have been able to come to an agreement on. They're also, I guess, in that agreement, what we have are some things that we really wanted in there as far as warranty work. Anything that Galen has pictures now, and anything that we have now, they are going to take care of, or that part will be done. But we also have until August 31st of 2016 to, I guess, identify other places that there may need warranty work done. And part of the agreement is that anything that is workmanship or something that was a result of their part of that project, they will cover the cost. If it is deemed to be substructure or something else, then that's in the agreement that Gage County will cover that cost at $75 a ton for the material.
$85.
At one time they proposed $75. Yeah, maybe it's $85.
So that was prior to the
year. Okay, yeah. And $85 a ton.
Let me double check. Yeah,
well, $85 a ton, okay. And if the county's saying it's their responsibility and they say it's our responsibility, it's in the agreement that we will have an independent third party make that determination, so that we both agree on that independent third party, and they will make that determination as who will end up paying for any of so-called warranty work. So I guess, Terry, or anybody else comments?
The only two things I'd like to bring up is these monies that we're talking about at the $102,000, that money was left and is still available through that original bond. So that's where that money's coming from. It's that original 2013 bond that was passed, and so it isn't like we're this money was there. We knew we had to finish up some things, and there was a discrepancy. This has drug on so long, I guess it shouldn't have, but it has. But at the time, there was discrepancies that we had cited, and well, put it bluntly, they took the position of my way or the highway. And finally, Roger got involved with this, and like any negotiation should go, we met in the middle someplace. So,
and I'd really like to thank Roger. I know the last, particularly once it kicked into gear, it took a while to get moving, but once it kicked into gear, Roger's had a lot of communications with their attorney for this this settlement part of the project.
Well, and Galen and Matt Manning were pivotal as far as helping me understand what's the difference between subgrade and warranty work and all that stuff. And quite frankly, there was some give and take on both sides. And anybody that does a contract this large as far as dollars and miles of work, the county had a guy out there, did a good job watching it. And again, it's if you look at the scope of the entire project, we got it down to we negotiated it down to $100,000 roughly. But the county, very importantly, got an extended warranty out of this thing. So again, it's good, give and take, and like you say, a good settlement. Both sides are going around spitting because they don't like the taste in their mouth. So I think it's probably a good settlement.
Roger, I think that's a good comment. And you did do a good job on this. And I think we've reached as good a compromise as we can. I can't stand the taste.
And Don's looking up the exact numbers, but if you guys remember back when this was bid, there was a huge difference between constructor's bid and the Nixlo bid. For the product we got, I think we got an outstanding value. When the county board bid this out, it couldn't have been a better time.
Right. Yes.
I'd like to know the difference between the constructor's bid and the Nixlo bid, but we weren't talking $50,000. If I remember right, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars lower. Mm-hmm. So
almost a half a million, if I remember correctly, in that figure was the difference.
And that's
top two bids.
Between the high and the low bid, there was over $1 million difference. Yeah. I remember that. But
so, I mean, there's an extreme value here. I mean, just by happen chance, that did happen to go out to bid at that time, but there was a very good value. I remember reading about that and thinking you couldn't hit that one on the head any better.
And there were other projects in, because the bond was the amount it was for, there were other projects in that we've been able to do in the county, some overlay and some culvert projects. And well, we were able to, particularly on Liberty Road, I know six or seven bridges we replaced with culvert projects, and that was all came out of there also, that originally that bond wasn't going to have happen or whatever. So the county did really benefit from, I'll call it, the other funds in there, because the bid was so low, the county was able to use those funds very wisely and did a lot of things that really have benefited the county.
So, well, we may have gotten what we paid for.
Any other comments, Matt?
No. Yes. Yes. Galen, anything to add or nope? No, thank you. You and Matt Manning with Manelli and Wagner's office up there. He was involved in a lot of these discussions too, and a lot of the goings on in this settlement or whatever. So, but there was a lot of people put together a lot of work so that we could get this taken care of. And I know we had multiple close sessions to talk about this and the discussion about an agreement that we could come up to with constructors, and I think we have an agreement that we both can live with. Like Roger said, maybe we don't quite like it the best, both of us, but we both can live with this, and we are finally closing this part of that project then. So I think that's a good deal too. Any more comments? Otherwise, vote. 6 in favor, with Hill voting against.
Send those up to you.
Okay. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove an amendment to an agreement between the City of Beatrice, Gage County, and Engage.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. I guess I know Pat and Andrew are both here. Would you care to come up, one of you, and maybe make a few comments about this? And Glennis, too, is here.
Good morning, gentlemen. Andrea Schaefer, Pinnacle Bank. I'm the president of the Engage Board, and with me I've got
Patrick Radigan.
And Glennis McClure, executive director of Engage. Okay, so we're here this morning asking for additional funding on the current agreement that we have with the county. The amount that we're asking for is an additional $50,000. The City of Beatrice also considered the same request at their last meeting, and they did approve that request. So should this request be approved, the total funding for Engage between the city and the county would be $300,000, up to $300,000 per year.
I know at the city meeting there was discussion with that much money. There were councilmen talking about wanting to see, you know, results at the end of some point in time, or kind of as things are happening, wanting to know about it. And there's the same feeling here, but I know we've all talked about that a little bit. Potential that's out there, what we'd like to see, why we want to see those things, and what it's going to take. And this is part of that plan to move us to that step, or that stage that we all want to see happen.
Terry.
Myron, going back here, we entered in this agreement, what looks to me, on 1-2 of 2012. And to date, I think the county spent $190,000. So in approximately 4.5 years, I guess my question is, what have we accomplished in 4.5 years?
Well, in my opinion, we've taken an organization that didn't exist at all and created an organization. We formed a very solid board of directors. We've hired Glennis. We have, I think, made some great relationships with the state of Nebraska as far as mending some relationships that were formerly there that were broken. And we've got some really, really exciting projects that we are right on the edge of hopefully landing here in Gage County. So I'd like to say we've done a lot in that amount of time. I mean, we're talking about a volunteer board that's volunteering their time to bring Gage County back on the map and bring economic development to our area. So,
but as far as business coming in, I guess what I'm talking about.
I'd let Glennis speak to that. She kind of keeps a better track, I guess, of all the businesses that we work with. I mean, I think she provides you guys with those updates quarterly, so I don't have a list of everything that's come to Gage County in the last 3 years.
I mean, we've heard about a lot of stuff, but...
Sure.
Well, and, you know, as far as Andrea mentioned, as far as projects that are, you know, going on now, you know, we've got some large companies looking, and a couple of those it's taken a year. We thought we'd hear something from one before the end of last year. And, you know, the industry changes, something happens, and it just takes that much longer. So, you know, again, Engage was set up as a comprehensive program. It's it is a constant work, working with existing businesses as well as small business startups. I know I've got my report to bring to you in a couple weeks, but we touched 32 small businesses just in this last quarter with some training, some one-on-one contacts, and that type of thing. So I think from that, you know, you may see some more new businesses started, some of the smaller foundational businesses started. And then ongoing, I've probably got about six of those larger projects that were just sort of waiting. And, you know, the other thing is we have to realize one thing may happen that can cause another not to happen. You know, let's say some business wants a building or comes into a building and somebody else, it sort of, you know, it negates another, you know. So it's always a moving part type of thing. So I guess...
And sometimes it too, it's just, I think, a fact that we're here to address questions, and make referrals, there's a lot of inquiries. We had a company that just bought the old Ace Hardware buildings. And that was tied up in a family and nobody could really negotiate to get that purchase. So that purchase has been made, that has been closed. They're going to be improving those buildings and utilizing at least one of them, and one of them will be for rent. And again, it's ongoing. I think it's very, very positive what's happened. And we're always waiting for that big thing. And we're really, really hopeful that will happen.
And I think, too, we've impacted a number of small businesses. So you don't always see the big headlines. You don't always see the big stories. But Engage has been involved in a number of small business retention, mm-hmm. small business expansion. They'll poke out in the newspaper every once in a while. You'll hear about them on the radio. There are a number of projects that are right on the edge. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think it's important to consider, too, is that this money, you talk about the amount of money since 2012. Well, the county's authorized up to $100,000. So you can see during that time we haven't used all of those funds. So what we're asking is that this be bumped up to the $150,000 level between the city and the county each. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to use all those funds, but those funds will be available to us, and we only pull them as we need them. This opportunity that we have before us is huge. It's hard for us to go into a lot of detail because it involves personnel. But it's a big opportunity for Gage County. I think it's going to dramatically turn things around for us. We're extremely confident about that. And we have rebuilt an organization that didn't exist. We started basically from ground zero, put together a good board, I think, put together a great director. We've reestablished a lot of connections with the state economic development areas. A lot of work going on behind the scenes. And you can't just base your success on a 200 or 300 employee company coming here. You're going to see 4 employees, 10 employees, 5 employees, 15 employees. You're going to see some of those larger companies as well. But don't forget the smaller gains are equally important. And we're dealing in a very difficult economic environment. We're competing with the same companies, same counties and cities all over the United States that are trying to attract these businesses. It's not easy. And so I think we've made great strides, and I really believe that our organization is right on the edge of some great things happening.
I'd like to make a comment. I think you started way below ground zero and not at ground zero. You have some real issues, and we dealt with them here in the county. The city dealt with them. And I'm so pleased that we have a very positive attitude now on the part of our Engage staff. And I think we're moving forward, but it doesn't happen overnight. And you aren't going to see a huge company locate in Beatrice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So keep working. You're doing good.
I'd say one comparison to make also, we talk a lot with our peers in the Lincoln, and we're part of the Lincoln Area Partnership too. The executive director there said that they had, when you're talking about major inquiries, and we get those from the state, or we get them from our utility partners or whatever, and we had about 12 of those last year that were pretty active that we addressed. Lincoln, in comparison, had 25. So we're not doing too bad. I mean, you can think about how many more might be looking at a metro area versus a rural area. And I think that's, again, with some of our connections and so on, I think, some of the interest in the rural has grown. And, again, it's relationships that, they know that we mean business, that we really want to do some things here. So just hope that actually happens.
Eric had a comment.
Terry, I've said the same thing, too, is what can we see in the last 4 years? And Senator Byers started talking about that. We did start in a hole. I was sitting in a tavern in Kearney at the Chicken Coop talking to a lawyer, and he said,
"Of course, I'm
what,
a lawyer.
What
I
happened?
Hear that story sometime because that sounds interesting."
He goes, "What happened to you guys? You guys fell off the map completely." I've started to hear about Beatrice again. What is Beatrice back open for business? And I said, "Well, we never closed. We just took a little hiatus, took a break there, but we're in business for sure." I mean, people around the state are talking. That's getting out there ways where people know we're serious, we're trying to do something. And, I mean, it's the long-term goal. I mean, it's real easy to look at the short go here. What are we spending right now? But as we have that outlay of money, we're going out remarketing. It takes a while to remarket. You don't make a business overnight. It takes time. And, you know, sometimes those first years aren't real productive, but you're laying the groundwork. And then after a while, you start, you know, harvesting the fruits from the seeds because you have put them out there. You've taken care of them. You've spread that marketing plan. You've made sure that you're there. People know you're there. You're solid. You're consistent. I really think we're going to start seeing some results here. The measurable results that are easy for Scooter to write about or, you know, for people to see. Sometimes it does just take that first tough time to get the ball rolling.
And I'll commend our board, too, there on all of the work they've done. I know sometimes it doesn't look like anything's going on, but when I was or the county's representative, there was a lot of stuff going on, and we did. We started at nothing, and I'm thankful and confident in the group we have, and that it's taken time. We hit a few bumps along the road, our first director and other things, and we've had some good leadership and appreciate everything you're doing.
And I would agree with that in that the perception out there has changed in that the county is now open for business and wanting business. Obviously, with an increased funding level, we're going to need different results.
And we take the funding seriously.
Yep.
During our board meetings, I mean, we're very careful about where that money goes, and that money will go to good use. And we have produced results, and we will continue to produce results, and you're going to see some big things happening.
The only comment I'd like to make is, you know, we're a livestock-friendly county. Most of these facilities, and we've had, you know, a lot of them come in, most of these facilities has to be located on a so-called minimum maintenance road, whatever, and that's always been an issue to get that road improvement up there to where it's usable for the producer coming in. It's usually a township road that's being used or have to be upgraded, and the township puts them at a terrible burden. I feel, I guess, that $50,000 we'd be better off putting a fund just for that, used for improvement. That would be Gage County improvement, just for roads improvement, road improvement, shall we say, if there is a livestock facility or some type of facility like that that does go in. So that's just my comment.
Gary.
Terry, and you brought this up one other time, and the thing that I would say to that is in the past when we had the old GCED, inheritance money was used to, when there was a project that came to town that needed to, or came to the county and needed some seed money or whatever, the inheritance fund was tapped for that kind of thing. There was it 100, I believe it was 150 from the city and the county at that point that funded the economic development process, and then whenever there was money needed for something like that, it came out of inheritance. My suggestion would be that moving forward, something like that comes forward, that's something we need to look at doing, is using inheritance and doing them kind of projects, quite honestly.
Yeah, and if we have a company that locates here that requires access to a road like that, that's a win. So that infrastructure part is something that we have to do anyway, even if it's located within the city. So that's kind of you've got the win, and then you've got to help to bring that company in. So that it's part of the process.
Thank you.
I want to thank all three of those folks that are standing there, because you guys came in at the ground level way back in the day when we were a ragtag group of people scratching our heads how to get this thing going again. And I can remember going and asking folks, would you want to be part of this new board? And everybody was a little hesitant. And so you really jumped in with both feet and really provided a lot of insight and dedication. And it is tough. And you probably don't get all the positive accolades and spotlights that you deserve over time. It's everybody's looking for the whiz bang, but sometimes it is that groundwork level stuff in the afternoons and the evenings and the weekends and the things. And so, you know, I think we've got a great relationship with Engage now. We've got a great relationship with the city of Beatrice, and I think we're moving in the right direction. But it's baby steps, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much.
Any more comments? If not, vote.
6 in favor with Juergens voting against.
Just 1 second before we move on. We were talking about the paving there, and we knew there's a big difference in the prices on the original bids on the asphalt for the bond. And it looks like it was just over $600,000 was the difference between constructors and the next low bid. Unless I just missed one here.
There's
a big gap there, though. I mean, we're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars there. So, I mean,
the $102,000 settlement isn't what is above their bid. No,
that's not an extra. That was just the final number.
That was the final settlement number because we felt we owed the roughly the $76,000, and they came back and said $141,000. So the $102,000 isn't money above their. That whole amount is not money above their bid. What their bid was,
and a large portion of the contested amount was whether it was subgrade issues or workmanship issues.
Yes.
And, you know, again, as you guys understood and acknowledged was, you know, that's one of those things you can argue till the cows come home, so to speak, and ultimately end up in front of a judge trying to decide what are separations and workmanship on a road project versus subgrade issues. So, again, the money was better spent in resolving this.
You what? You need a break? No. We'll take a 5-minute break. I've seen Terry walk out too.
What are you pointing to me for?
Terry. No, not Terry. Doug. Doug, I was looking over and told Doug.
Terry's still there. Doug,
Terry's still here. We'll take a 5-minute break.
You guys can sit here for 2 hours, and then after 2 hours, they got to pay.
Mics are back on. Oh. We'll re-adjourn the meeting at 10:14.
Readjourn.
Is that part of Road and Bridge?
Reconvene. Sorry.
Thank you.
Wrong one again. Not readjourn. No, reconvene.
Eat that cupcake. Your sugar's getting low.
Thank you. Next on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove options and quote for internet restriction program. We probably 2 months ago.
Missed one.
What?
Missed one.
Go do his probation office.
Oh, never mind. Oh, sorry. I checked that one off. Sorry.
F2K.
Sarah's here, too. Approve or disapprove agreement between City of Beatrice and Gage County for lease of office space for probation office. And while Roger's not here to talk about it, that's why I passed.
Is that why he left?
He'll be back. No, he'll be back.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. This is the agreement between, I think the city's already approved it, between the it's the County of Gage and City of Beatrice for a lease for the probation office down there. And Sarah, if you'd like to come up and talk a little bit here, if you want to, it's that probation office down there is not just Gage County's, it's multiple counties, but
first of all, I thank you guys for your support on this. My staff is very excited to have security up there for one, and we've outgrown our space as it existed. You know, when we first moved into there, we had 7 full-time staff that were officed in Beatrice, and we currently have 13, and we'll have 16 by the time we've got all the LB 605 hires done, which I've got 3 positions advertised right now that will be hopefully hired by May 1st. So, and that should hopefully cap our growth for quite a while, unless the legislature gets excited about something again. So right now we have 13 staff up there, but the 2 additional offices will help take care of that space that we needed. So we'll be set. And I have to thank the city too, because the city did donate paint to the project. So it's coming along nicely. I'd say 90% of the construction is wrapped up. Yeah. It's just little stuff now, doorknobs, things like that, trim, but it's pretty much there. I hope you all come up and see it because it really is looking great. It really is. So we're excited about that, but we've had a lot of growth. We're starting to initiate the contracts for the reporting center. So we've already got relapse prevention going there. So we've got people coming up for relapse prevention services every Tuesday night. But we'll be bringing in other services, so we'll have parenting classes, life skills, budgeting, all of these things that we couldn't provide. We'll now have the contract dollars in order to provide that, and it will all be done out of our office up there. This is also available to all of our counties, and we'll have some transportation available as well, so we'll be able to bring folks in from other counties that couldn't get here otherwise for the services.
How many counties do you take care of?
We have 11 counties.
So 11 counties, that's economic development here also, mm-hmm. where all that's brought back to Gage County. We're paying our share of this where people see an outlay of money from Gage County, but that's a shared cost between everyone. I would say we have an additional benefit by being able to house you all here and have all the services right here at home for everyone.
Well, it does, you know, it brings in additional jobs. You know, you think about who we're employing here. We also, through the reporting center contracts, are going to be bringing in providers. We're hoping to work with Southeast Community College in order to provide some of those additional classes. So we'll be engaging local providers as well. So it's going to be at no cost to Gage County because those contract dollars are coming from the state. I'm currently working on the purchase of all of our additional furniture items, computers, desks for our new staff. Just some developments for our group rooms so that they have the equipment that they need. So I currently have $44,000 worth of equipment that's ordered and has been approved by the state for purchase. That will all become the property of Gage County once it's here. So that's a bonus, too. It's not coming out of our budget and the county's money, all of that stuff to supply our new staff. So we're excited about that, too. It's been fun watching it all kind of come together and start to move in, but it's true. I mean, we have people coming here for services that wouldn't otherwise. You know, we bring people from Fairbury and all of the local communities. They come here, they buy food, they patronize our businesses in the community. So, and we've got a lot of folks that actually live in outlying counties that work here, too. So it's been, we've had a lot of growth, and it's been going in a really good direction.
Myron, to just call some attention to the agreement on number 19 there, you'll see that I know this was something we were batting around with the city, is that the elevator breaks, they'll repair that. But we do bear, there's some liability. Leasee shall maintain all ADA repairs to the lease premises defined herein should they be required at the leasee's sole expense. So we, if there's something else that comes up, there's potential that we're going to have to pay for that. And just be aware that there is some liability even above and beyond the annual cost there. And then just as a point of note, if something breaks that's really expensive, you don't want to be the chairman because it lists the chairman as the leasee. So
the chairman as the leasee, yeah. Just be aware of that. Roger negotiated this one, right? No.
So that's, honestly, though, 19's out there. So
you try. I know.
We'll have this potential. I think it's a great space. It looks like it's been updated. It works well, but there is that potential liability out there.
How many square feet do you have up there? Do you know?
I can't even tell you. I'm not sure what's in the contract. Do they have it?
It doesn't know. It's just second floor.
Really? Well, we don't. Here's the thing, though. We don't have all of second floor. There's still a lot of square footage in the west end of the building that we don't have access to.
Police department uses for gym and storage.
Except storage room and exercise room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a big space back there.
Entire second floor of the police station, except the storage room and the exercise room.
I don't think they actually looked at square footage because there's a lot of wasted area there. And it's nobody's fault. That's the
right.
way the building was designed for American Charter.
Right. And we're maximizing. I mean, the space that we have is going to be maximized with the additional offices. Plus, we have kind of a cubicle set up in the middle for some of our other staff, for support staff, our drug technicians. Because we're going to have 3 drug technicians full-time out of Gage County.
I don't know. Is that 5,000 square feet, you think? You think there's 5,000? Something like
that. Got to be close.
I'm just thinking of the space, and just from a round number, if $16,000 a year, say it's 5,000 square feet, it's $3 a square foot rental space.
It's cheap.
But there is some liability there in 19 for ADA requirements if something needs to happen other than the elevator.
As Roger knows, the city's visited with some of us about that. I think Roger steered them our way, but I'm just kidding, Roger.
Well,
but
no.
We talked about that a little bit because I said, here's the concerns. After we talked that last time, I said, what are the potential issues here? One was the elevator, one was the indemnification, and then one was the other ADA requirements, and the intent. On record, the intent of that was that police department takes care of their own stuff, probation takes care of their own stuff, meaning doorways, things like that. The major expense, I think, that you were worried about before was the elevator and potential ADA access. As long as they take care of that elevator, short of us putting in a 2-foot-wide doorway, we should limit our risk there now that you have that wording in there about the elevator, I would assume.
Well, you still have your escape clause that if we get nailed on something that is going to be cost prohibitive from the county's perspective, we will have no choice but to exercise our clause and get out of it and find some place that doesn't have second floor issues. Right. And I'm sure probation at that point will be going, yeah, I mean, because they've got to comply with that, obviously.
Yes.
I think Roger has us protected on this, where I'm comfortable with it.
And I wouldn't go that far, but, I think it was a good workout. It benefits both parties. We'll just leave it at that.
And some of the things of the agreement, this actually commenced, we're behind in getting it done for when it starts. It starts first day of October 2015 and runs for a period of 3 years, ending 30th day of September 2018. The lease for the first year is $15,600, and it will raise 3% a year after that. We put that in there. That wasn't in there in the other years, in the previous contract, that 3% annual raise. So, otherwise, no, Roger and the city, they work quite a while on this and everything again. So, but we do have this done, and Sarah visited with her about it, and then she's will have this so that as she goes forward to the other counties and starts visiting about budget, she will be able to have this with her to show what some of the costs are going to be and stuff. So,
well, just to date, we have not had any ADA issues. We've had clients in wheelchairs, crutches, any number of different issues, and we've had no problems getting them up there, getting into the restrooms. So, in our restrooms, we do have the rails in the stalls. So, I mean, there is accommodations there, but we have not had any problems so far. And we've been up there a while now.
How long have you been there?
Oh,
any
gosh,
idea?
It's been 6 years.
You were there in,
before I
was 09, 10.
Before we came on the board.
I was on the city council.
You
so
were on the city
been,
council when it happened?
09, 10, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was before 10. Right before you started remodeling.
Right before 10.
The building.
Yeah, it was a good move.
Because Jack was still up here.
Right.
When he was.
Right.
Okay. If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
It is.
Sarah, you want a copy? I mean, this. Did you get a copy, or you get a copy from the clerk's office? Because you wanted a copy of it.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah.
If you want to go ahead and you can sign that.
Well, she has the one here. You can have, this is the one to hand it out.
You guys laugh. That's good public relations. Well,
Dave,
you're welcome.
Dave,
I have one here. I have one here.
I can understand
you and
K-grads.
That's just a copy of the original.
That's
what that is. So
I don't know if Dave has anything to offer on the building, anything.
I'm feeling they have to go out to UNK.
They have where Mark P. thought it hasn't been really good, but if we had the small issues, he would take care of a lot of those small issues. I didn't ask the question as far as the amount that the county has to pay it in the past. I think it's the first $1,000 if we did anything. Otherwise, Mark has been really good to work with down there. He's changed a lot of light valves.
There's two pages.
They've had clogged drains, and when they were there, they would take care of things like that.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove options and quotes for internet restriction program. I'll let Don explain this a little bit, but basically a couple months ago we approved, not Phil, just Phil brought it forward and everybody to go on Facebook on the county. We found out that we could not, as a county, we blocked certain things, approximately 6 or 7 things. We could not go in and take just that Facebook restriction off. It was all of them or none of them that we currently block. Don has been visiting with MIPS and some other companies about, I guess, another program or another option here so that we could just block certain words, certain things, or whatever. The current program that we have with MIPS says you will
This is the package. You block all of these, or you block none of those. So,
the program that we've had for years and years, probably 15, 20 years ago, I think it came about. So it's never been updated. It's never changed. It was just a simple blocking program that the board at that time implemented. When the board passed this to move forward, when I spoke with them, I spoke with Nick there, he said, well, it's all or none on this program because it is an old program. So then I talked to Myron, and so then decided to hold off, not open it up yet, but to check into whatever programs are available. He did get back with me, and I gave everybody a copy. There's a couple of options. The one option is to go through, which is the least expensive. It will block different sites that you set up, and you can limit some of that, but the traffic is not tracked. The user is not tracked. It would be based on a PC. So I understand, because I'm not a computer guru, anyone could sit behind a computer and look at whatever, try to access sites or whatever. This actually tracks it by computer. The other program, which is more extensive and is a lot more costly initially, it will require individuals. You will sign on to access the internet, and it actually tracks you as a user, where you go. If you want to pull a report from it, it has that capability. What site you go to or how long you might be on those sites or that type of thing. So I think Lincoln County has this, and I think Saunders County has this program. From what I understand, it's supposed to be a very good program. Now, Nick did get a, I don't know what you call it, just a sample time that he could get on, and so he did some of these reports where it showed, and that's what these colored pages are for your pie shapes here, of the amount of time spent on what sites or that type of thing. So anyhow, those are the two. I mean, there's a lot more robust programs out there, but this is what he sent us that they have come up with.
My opinion's still the same as always. I like the technology, but every time we add more technology, that adds all these additional expenses. To allow these different things, though, responsibly, I wonder if we need to, for the protection of the employee and for the protection of the county, have that ability to track what user is doing what. There can be, you know, you're putting yourself out there in social media. There could be accusations that someone's doing this or that. By being able to track that employee by their number, if they're not doing it, hey, here's the sites I was on, the amount of time, that protects that employee. If they are doing it, it's the nail in the coffin. Yeah, you were on these sites, you were doing this, you were on the internet for 11 hours, you know, when you could have been doing something. So I think it's a good both ways protection. I do hate spending the money, but if we are going to allow them access, this is the same type of deal that would be used in the private sector to monitor employees' time. Instead of just being able to check on a console, you can actually track that employee.
I will say, too, the program that we did have in the past did have the tracking capability. However, that part failed about a year or so ago, and they hadn't been able to get a hold of the company that, and they're somewhere else, so it wasn't feasible to use them, and we couldn't print the reports like this, the way I understood. It was a report, it was a tracking, but it was not to this degree. It wasn't.
And I don't know if this is approved, if we can add a rider to that, too. If there is outside use of internet off of other sources, anything that's being used by county employees ought to be running through the county I would think. I don't know if that's something to put together with this or add that to through that resolution where we allowed access to Facebook and the internet. But I think that's something we need to revisit also.
I think we need to have a discussion on that too as we go forward. And everything we put it on there to prove or disapprove. If
you can take a look at it. The other thing, and I just want to make sure, because you know I'm on a separate server on fourth floor for obvious reasons, not because of the porn sites I'm on, but we get a lot of information that comes in that can't, quite frankly, go anywhere else.
Right.
Because we're locked into law enforcement, state patrol. Yeah. I don't even know how much. And so that would be a concern I would have if we, because I think we still go through someplace down here.
You use your internet. I think the internet filters through, I think. You have a separate server, though. I'm not sure you even go.
I might have
to
ask
Joe that. You go through the state side.
The internet, a lot of that stuff comes through the internet.
But see, I think you're on the state side.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but you have your own server.
But that just reminds me, I should probably take a look at that, because since I came up here, I mean, I assumed it was secure, and that might have been a very bad assumption.
Part of why we're having this discussion, though, too, it's there. It's part of what our system is. And technology has, I call it advanced, or it's going in faster and faster. And part of what we've had here is a so-called system that to block is 15 years old. Well, it's outdated. It's completely outdated. Now, I don't know. I'm not a computer person, so I don't know enough about all this either. It's some of these things. I think that the county employees should have the ability to be on Facebook, county Facebook and stuff like that. I think some of these things, there are a lot of companies and businesses out there using them, and we're in a way limiting maybe what our county's doing by have the limitations we have on some of these things. So I think we need to have that out there, but I also think we need to bring more up to the present time some of this ability that we have maybe to block something or log something. I do like the aspect of this. Each employee would have a so-called number. They could go to any computer in any of these offices then and log on, but they have to log in with their number so that you know that that person came over there and used that or whatever. So it's not just your computer at your desk and it's only you. It's other people have the ability to use it, but then if something happened, it's not necessarily you. You would have an identity of that person who did something. So, Matt?
Is this a decision that the board's going to make that's going to create a hailstorm of animosity and anger from the other elected officials? In the potential hindrance of their department, is there any consensus that we have by the other elected officials that they want something like this?
Well, we've already have this, and so the other officials know this.
Okay.
We already have the blocking, so if they go right now to type in Facebook, it comes up with a message and says you're blocked from this site.
So by blocking everything that we block, other than this idea of Facebook, is there any way that this will benefit operations in the county? By opening this up, or just continue the way we're doing by blocking everything, have functions of the county been hindered by what we're doing now by blocking stuff?
I think they have. Personally, I think they have.
In what context?
Well, I mean, there's several of these things that these offices could be using to contact more people. I mean, whether you like it or not, social media is used extensively, especially by the younger generations. And there are people out there, I mean, I've heard it, you know, when I had, we had our meeting over at the veterans office here a couple weeks back, and them guys over there are ecstatic that, you know, they aren't able to use the county Facebook yet, but they have got some Facebook out there that they've gotten into. I don't know if it's been personal, through Phil's personal or what they've been doing, but they've had contacts now with people that they haven't ever had contact, and they got veterans that are saying thank you for doing these things, and I mean, I think all of the offices have that capability.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. You know, what are we trying to accomplish by blocking? I mean, what are the offices wanting to do? Because quite frankly, if we're trying to block, then we need to tell everybody they can't bring their cell phone in.
But that's a personal device versus county owned equipment.
Right.
And with these ransom viruses that are out there now, you could potentially lock down the county system and then hinder then you could absolutely hinder the functions of government. I'm not against social media. I'm saying in the context of that being supported by a public body, is that something that's going to hinder people paying their taxes? I don't disagree that what Phil wants to do with Facebook is probably good for the veterans. Is that a situation where he can access with his laptop our wireless and stay completely off the network and do that independent, because Facebook isn't held on our network? It's just accessed through our internet. So I guess I'm more concerned about a breach of our current infrastructure that provides for the functions of government by trying to let people access sites that are not on our network. And if there's a way we can work that and not create a Nazi state of checking everybody right. and where they're going, then let's figure that out. But, we don't have offices here that are running this other than the clerk's office, and you've got a unique situation in your area. Are we going to hinder offices' ability to do stuff by locking everything down, and is there a hybrid? I don't know. I'm just throwing a lot of questions.
It'd be less locked down than it is now, but, I mean, if I always worry about that, too. I assume we have things in place so that I shouldn't assume that, but is that something we need to check to see if there are firewalls or whatever?
Firewalls. Everybody's got firewalls, but I can tell you, even if you're not on the internet, if you're hooked into the internet, what Joe Blackburn, I do a lot of the work with Joe, you're subjected to just what you're concerned about. And I probably at least once every 6 months, I have a computer going out getting cleaned up. And there's nothing you do, whether you turn it off at night or, you don't. It apparently doesn't matter. And again, I'm not a guru on this stuff, but I mean, it's out there. The hackers are out there.
Yeah. We have had notices from like people in Asia and things like that trying to get into, and that's all those people do is these other countries and even here. And my conversations with MIPS who monitor that, we actually had a situation where we did get breached at one time partially, and that was on our older system. They are in there trying. If you have an internet connection, they're going to be trying, and we see that, but it has. They just have to keep beefing up the firewalls and changing the parameters, and that's what they do. So, through the year, they'll contact me to, we need to update this or we need to update that because of exactly what you said. We're not going to get away from that.
I just can't imagine in May or June if someone was to get in and lock down our GIS system, what would happen to the...
But by saying that, we get on the internet.
Protest process.
But we get on the internet when we do our elections, when we do our marriage license. Everything is connected. We're still using the internet in the offices, so we still have that.
Still some breach.
You're still going to have that exposure.
Well, have we ever had a threat assessment? Have we ever had anyone come in and just do a threat risk assessment?
Doug had some comments, apparently. So.
Two comments I'd just like to quickly make on that. If you recall, we had Homeland Security come in and do that audit. And one of the big things that he discussed was cybersecurity and how important that is and the amount of threats that county government or any government entity faces on a daily basis. And that is a real concern, I think, that we need to be aware of. And I know since we've moved our server over here now and we have our, internet access and stuff going through there, I'm guessing... that we, like the county attorney's office, we have questionable sites and different things that we access, for legitimate law enforcement purposes, where it might be something relating to child pornography or, things of that nature for investigation, and also, for our sheriff's office Facebook page. So there are those things that we're going to access that are going to be questionable as far as blocking those and restricting those, and I don't know how that all works, but those are things that we do use and we would need to use at some point for law enforcement purposes. So that's something to keep in mind, I guess, for consideration. And then if we, I think it was Greg from Homeland Security that came and did that assessment, he talked a lot about cybersecurity. And those things are available through Homeland Security that they can give us guidance on some of those things to at least consider that, I think, at some point. But that's
you're on a separate server, so
yeah.
It would be the our server that this would be on. It wouldn't be Rogers or yours.
Yeah, because I know we use it, and I know we haven't had any problem with that.
So it's strictly on our server, the blocking that comes through, and then those that come through our server for the county. So like the highway department, the veterans office, you know, those people come through our server, VPN into our server. Those would be the ones that would be utilizing this program.
And I'm not completely adverse to the cost. You know, at some point in an electronic world, you're going to eat up some of this stuff just as a cost of doing business if you're going to do that. And unfortunately, that's probably what we're into here, $5,000 a year to protect your infrastructure, because you know, someone holds you hostage, then $5,000 is going to be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure, I guess, that we're not locking it down to hinder the functions of government, but not opening it up so that we're creating something that causes people to spend their time doing other things.
Well, I think this program, the second program, allows us a little more leeway where, you know, you can go to legitimate sites where that one's, the old one we had, it's pretty generic. I mean, it picked phrases, it picks, plus the sites that it also blocks. So, like I said, I'm not a computer person. I'm trying to.
There's always ways around.
And we do instruct our employees, and don't have your phones at your desk or things like that. You know, you do it on break time if you want to. Yes, they're going to go do their social media in the car on their lunch hour, things like that. So people are going to see those kind of things. But in-house, you have to decide what you want, I guess.
Well, Matt, would you feel more comfortable if some of those questions you had, if Don would visit with Nick a little bit about that?
I think we need something. I think what we have now may be too restrictive, and so I think we need something.
Right.
But I think it's just those questions of those individual departments of how tight do you want it locked down. If Lori wants people to spend 100% of their time doing non-external stuff, then that's up to her to do that.
That is something, though, that he can unlock. Yeah. Certain computers. So, like, if they're, when you say that, that brings to mind where he said, you know, like, if I have something in my office, he can unblock one or two computers for certain things.
Sure.
So if Lori does have something that she has to have, it can be unblocked where it doesn't unblock everything for everyone.
I think it's good we have this. I just don't want to force our opinion on a separately elected official's office and say, this is how you're going to run your office. We can say, here's a resource. If you choose to not use it, then you're responsible.
Yeah, and that is an option on this.
I think it's good we have it.
Now, Don.
Go ahead, Gary.
It says 11,000 initial 3 years. Is that 11,000 for the 3 years or 11,000 per year?
Yeah, and this is just an estimate based on the number of users that we actually end up with. This is based on 50 users, whether we have 50 or not. They had to give us a starting point, or this company a starting point.
But what did you say? The 11,000 is divided by three, or that's each year?
No, $5,750 each year of those 3 years. You have to agree to the 3 years.
The 3 year.
And then after that.
$5,750. And then after that, it's based on the users.
No, it's based on the users right now. This could change. We could have less users. This is just right now a figure, but you have to do 3 years.
What Gary's saying is your 11,000 doesn't equal 75 or 5,700 times three.
Three times.
There's initial start. Yeah. There's initial cost.
The 11,000 is an initial cost.
This is what he said.
Plus, $5,750 per year.
Can we get a more comprehensive?
Yeah.
To make sure
that's confusing.
Yeah. Well, here's your sales quote here.
Are we sure that our hardware is sufficient to run this, too? I mean,
we're not going to have to buy 50 more computers?
He knows our system, but here's what the quote is right here.
Yeah, but this is the... This is the startup. The 11,380 is the startup. So we'll find out some more things. More than anything, we want to have discussion. We won't vote on anything today. But
I don't want to see Patty and Phil and Lori and whoever, Diane, come down here and say, "What are you doing? You locked me out."
It looks like
I could probably take Doug, but I don't know about the other three.
I would.
Okay.
My thought is that, you know, I don't know how much. I want to know what this is going to cost.
Right.
to me, I'd almost rather you have the computer open, each office decides and pays attention to what their employees are doing and regulates what's going on. I mean, that's...
You mean
in the private world, that's the way we handle it.
Your comment is, why are we blocking stuff then?
Why would you want to spend $20,000 a year or whatever this ends up being?
Well, no.
If you're spending $11,000 to put it in and then $5,700 a year to... That's why I want to know the numbers.
That's what it looks like to me. This is $11,000 because he's estimating 50 computers, and there's several things. There's three different things here that they'll put on those, and that's part of the cost. I mean, one is $100 a piece. That's $5,000. So
if you read through here, it says logs are limited to 90 days. 90 days, I mean, yeah, it's nice to have 90 days of logs, but, you know, is that really going to do you a whole lot of good when you're a year out?
Can each department designate, or each office?
Need more explanation on these numbers.
One open computer.
Not clear at all.
We'll find out some more information. We will continue to have discussion on it. But it more than anything, as much as anything, just wanted to update everybody where we're at. The fact that we have an unblocked Facebook.
I guess the other thing too, Myron, that I wanted to add is that even just on this, that's going to become a bigger deal. I mean, we're going to have to probably do something in a handbook or something. I mean, there's going to be something more we're going to have to do with this.
To Matt's comment. I don't want to, if we do have 50 computers in the building, I don't want to all of a sudden have to buy 50 new computers.
I don't know.
So we will check into more things, but if you have questions, don't be afraid to ask them. Now I got to find my agenda back.
Have another cupcake.
Discuss and approve or disapprove Blue River Area Agency on Aging's request for letter of support and providing assurance of continued support in the amount of $34,860. This $34,860 is the amount we did pay this year. It was not in the original budget. They came before us in several meetings and requested more. Because of funding needs, brought it up to that amount, but that was the amount that we ended up supporting them with for this current fiscal year.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion that we approve Blue River's Area Agency on Aging request for letter of support, but the content not be specific to a dollar amount, that it have verbiage that would say our intent is to continue to fund at or near, but cannot be finalized until the budget process is completed. I think it would be haphazard to lock ourselves into something that we don't know.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. And did you get the verbiage down there,
that's
I guess?
To approve a letter of support, but not at a specific amount. And what did you say?
I would say at or near
the current level.
The prior
current
year's amount. Request.
The current level of support.
If we say a dollar amount and they want that, and what if we just don't know. We don't do that with anybody, because then that's going to start the budget process.
No, that makes sense. But they are doing, they've restructured, and it's going really well, and it's the people that they serve. I'm hearing real good comments, and so the staff is on board as quality, and I'm feeling real good about where we've gone with the mess that we were in.
And my motion is not to propose not funding them. It's just not being specific with a dollar amount at this time.
I guess I agree with Matt. I don't know why we would want to start doing this, because then all of a sudden you're going to have 30 agencies sending you letters wanting you to.
No, part of, and I don't know if I can find the letter or not. Part of why they were asking for this letter of support.
NDOR was requesting these letters of support before they would fund. And
okay.
And they had to have it in by April 20th or 22nd or something. Right here.
That makes more sense.
We've been working on Nebraska Department of Roads application for our new year that begins on July 1st. The requirement that directly affects the counties and cities that we serve is a letter of support from each entity providing assurance of continued support and level of local match has to accompany the application. As you're aware, Gage County's support of our service last year was $34,860, and we are asking for that same level of support to guarantee that the citizens of Gage County continue receiving our services.
Okay, Roger, knowing that, is the motion that Matt and I put forward, is that going to be acceptable to that letter?
Well, I would say because you put a, I mean, you put a threshold at or near.
Okay.
And again, I guess some of the concern I have is when NDOR is doing this, they understand, or they should understand the budgetary process the counties have to go through and the state statutes regarding promising things that aren't in the current year that you folks are operating in and can control.
Right.
I mean, we can't, when you do long-term contracts, we all get nervous because you're binding future boards. Not that, you know, like bonds and stuff like that, you certainly do that. But that's what I you know, sometimes they say the left end asks for things and they don't, and that's, I'm not blaming them, I'm just saying they're looking at what their needs are. Well, it puts you guys in a heck of a box because you want to continue to support worthwhile causes, but you can't say, "Oh, don't worry, this time next year we'll be there. Well, we're going to give you that what you need."
Well, the bad thing is if we don't give them the letter, then that's additional funding that
they're going to lose.
They're going to lose. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I have no problem with the at or near current level.
You know, if they want some support, you know,
because if they want a dollar amount, I would propose a less dollar amount, and then budget more when we get there.
Yeah.
If they need a dollar amount, but I.
But then again, that can hurt their financing.
Yeah.
You don't know what valuations are going to do. You haven't set the budget for next year. That would be, in my mind, be you're cherry picking one person or one entity here saying, "Well, we're going to get, you're going to get everything that
we'll guarantee you that."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, like you said, 38 letters. Probably at least that many come back.
Right.
Saying, "Help us out too."
Yeah.
And this funding is shared with all the counties throughout the area that they serve, right?
They all of their counties in their area, they get funding from. Yes,
right.
Yes. And they have a formula. I can't remember exactly how they went through it. They came and explained it to us or whatever as they were going through their change of leadership there or whatever. And stuff.
Maybe we could have more visitation at the jail and subvert those funds from visitation to...
Okay, what, read us what you had.
I just have motions made to approve letter of support, but not at a specific amount or near the current level of support.
At or near.
Yeah. Not at a specific amount, at or near the current level of support.
Does that sound?
Sounds acceptable.
Sounds acceptable. Oh. Yeah, as long as you put a comma in there. But
This is not the letter requirement. This is my scratching.
Because that, well, it, to me, it yeah, never mind. Okay, vote. 6-0.
Five.
In favor.
5-0.
5-0. Tiemann's not here either, so it's 5-0 in favor. Thank you, Gary. Last item, that was the last item on the agenda. Anything else for the good of the order?
I think from now on we ought to have all the road and bridge expenditures be the last item on the agenda to see if we can get Juergens to stay the entire meeting.
He's
leaving early. Is he working you to get those at the front end of the meeting?
Yes, Critter.
Yeah. We will adjourn at 10:55. Thank you.